Hi and welcome. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Network. I'm your host, Ellie Merriweather with Pet Honoring, and here to help with all aspects of honoring our pets and our relationship with them. Great. Thanks for joining us today. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network, and I'm your host, Ellie Merriweather. Thanks for joining us. We're coming live from Asheville, North Carolina, and this is a show which covers things that help us with our relationship with our pets, and the underlying focus really here is how we can best care for our pets and ourselves as pet parents. And we have a great show today. Joining us is returning guest Colleen Ellis. She is the founder of Two Hearts Pet Loss Center. And I wanted to do this segment because we've talked on the show before about how we can care for ourselves during pet loss, and we've explored a lot of the resources out there for helping us manage this. And today we're going to focus a little bit more on how we can help those around us. This is our friends, our family, our children, and even our other pets. And that's something that I think we all could use a little help and perspective on, and ways that we can reach out and support each other. Before we begin, bring our guest on, I've gotten a lot of requests for how people can get information from the Asheville Angel Pets Conference that was in April. For those who could not attend, the lectures are now available on CD. And this conference focused on pet loss, end-of-life decision-making, and caregiver support. And so some of the topics were assessing quality of life, medical advocacy for your pet, how to talk to your vet, and describing pet hospice, helping us understand what that is, as well as some wonderful lectures on helping us manage grief. And you can get more information about that on pethonoring.com. And also, for those out there who have a pet near and dear to their heart that they want to be honored in a pet memorial ceremony, every second Sunday of the month, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I do a pet honoring memorial ceremony, and it is free to add a pet. It is free to call in and listen to this. A lot of people from around the nation and even internationally send in names of pets and pictures of pets to be honored, and it's a really lovely time just to have that moment of thanks and reverence for our pets. So it's very healing, and it's a very simple ceremony. You can find out more information about that also on pethonoring.com. So there's some extra resources there for you. So today we have returning guest Colleen Ellis. She is the founder of Two Hearts Pet Loss Center. In 2004, Colleen opened the nation's first standalone pet funeral home. She's also authored Pet Parents, A Journey Through Unconditional Love and Grief. And she's been such a strong pioneer in this field of helping us heal grief from pet loss. Her organization, Two Hearts Pet Loss Center, also offers the Pet Loss and Grief Companioning Certificate course, which we'll be talking about also as well. And her website is Two Hearts Pet Loss Center. So welcome, Colleen. Thank you for joining us here today.
Hi, Lee. How are you today?
Hey, great. Thank you so much for joining us and helping us understand better how we can support those around us when a pet dies. And I know a lot of times I feel at a loss of, you know, what to do and how to help. And I know there are a lot of listeners out there, too, that would like to understand this better. So thank you. This is really great. Let's first start with children. And, you know, many of us just flat don't know what to do with our children and how to help them when a family pet dies. And you have mentioned something that was very interesting, that children are organic mourners. So let's talk about that and help us understand the basics of how children mourn.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, that's a very powerful comment that you just made. Children are organic mourners. And I think a lot of times, maybe it is truly we don't know what to do to help the children when they have a precious pet that dies. But I think sometimes it's our fear of our own emotions that maybe we're shying away from. And as I've told so many parents of children, parents are the barometer for how children will handle the death. And so it's giving them the information and giving them the permission and sometimes even helping and giving them the strength that they need to do what they can do to help their child as they honor a pet friend who's died in the home. And I think sometimes parents are scared of showing their emotions in front of the children because they think it will maybe upset them more or maybe not be healthy for them to see their mom or their dad cry. And I counsel them against that. I say, you know, it's healthy for them to see. It's healthy for them to see that that loss comes with grief and loss comes with tears, and tears are okay. Tears are not a sign of weakness. Tears are a sign of strength. And we take that time and we take that time to cry and be mad and be sad and be angry and be all those sorts of things because we just had something precious taken away from us. And it's okay to do that. So what I mean by children being organic mourners, if you watch a child, and I really work with vet clinics on this as well, is that if they'll kind of flash back to what happens when children come into the room and they're, you know, being a part of this process of honoring a love that was maybe just euthanized or died in some way, shape, or form, and they come in and they get very upset and they cry and they get emotional and they do what they're going to do, and then all of a sudden they pop up and they say, I want to go out in the lobby. I saw all the kitties out there. Can I go out and play with all the kitties? And so they
wow,
begin
right.
to go to Yes, they begin to dose themselves with this emotion of grief and this emotion of mourning and this emotion of loss. And so they dose themselves. And so they stand up and they say, can I go out and play with the kitties in the lobby? And so then they want to go out and play with the kitties in the lobby. And some people view that as a sign of disrespect because we as adults say, by gosh, you've got to stay in here and stay in here and stay in the moment and stay in the emotion. And we kind of get all worked up about it. Where in all actuality, we should watch what the children do because them dosing and doing their mourning process in a dosing format is actually very, very healthy and very organic. It's what we do naturally. So they go out, they play with the kitties, and they have their fun out there. And then all of a sudden they say, can I go back in again and see Fluffy? I want to go see Fluffy again. And so they come in and they do the same thing again. They begin to cry. They begin to get emotional. They begin to do all of that. And then all of a sudden they pop their head up again and they say, can I go color? I want to go color. And so the dosing process continues. And so my work with families and clinics and people who have children is allow that dosing to happen. Allow that organic process to happen because it's actually very, very healthy and it's actually very good. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And I really loved what you said in the beginning, too, about giving our children more credit and giving them... and you know, they're managing their grief and kind of going with that and not shying away from it because of our own, of what we're going through is not just to ignore it or, you know, not talk to your children or involve them. And so yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And the way you describe it with children, you know, I can see it, you know, and I can, you know, I think we've all been around children when they're struggling with something and it's like, yeah, okay, they're dosing and to go with it.
Exactly. That's exactly what it is. You know what? Go with it. Let them do what they need to do. Let them process it in the way that they need to process it because they're actually doing it okay. And it's okay for them to do it in the way that becomes very natural to them. And again, very organic. I keep using that word, but that's exactly what it is. It's just a very organic process to them. And the word that you said was give them credit. You know what? They understand what's going on. And many a times, they do understand what's happened. They may not understand the details and the finer points of it, but they do understand what's going on. Let's give them credit. They feel the room has changed. They feel all that kind of stuff because that's just how children operate. Now, what we as adults need to do is we need to fill in the blanks, and we need to help them with the details. Oh my gosh, I've told so many parents, I said, I can't believe you explained death that way. I'm like, I can't wait to see how you explain sex. Oh my gosh, thank you. Right? You know, so it's
right,
let's use the right words. Let's use the right, you know, analogies. Let's use the right everything and let's give them the right education versus making up words such as Fluffy went to the farm or Fluffy's going for his last grooming or whatever craziness is being said. Let's use the right words. Let's describe it appropriately and let's help them understand it in a very, very healthy way because that's going to bode much better for them in the long run. So let's help them. That's our role as guides. That's our role as adults. That's our role as parents. That's our role to do that. So we need to help them with that. We need to fill in those blanks and make it be exactly what it should be in the process of describing it. Let's use words like dead. Let's use words like die. And let's watch using words like put to sleep or a special medicine. We're going to go to the veterinarian and get a special medicine for Fluffy. Because the next time they get sick and have to go to the doctor for special medicine, it's probably not going to bode very well.
Yeah, it kind of just really sets them up for not understanding it completely, and then it's
exactly
unresolved, and then it may even scare them, like you said, later when other situations that come up that are used, you know, with the same words. And
exactly.
I really like also what you were saying with the being the role model, and because this is what our children do, is they learn from us, and they learn
exactly
how
right
to handle life and to handle situations from how we handle it as well, and how we interact with them.
Right,
so
that's
I think that's right.
And go ahead. I get so excited. I'm so sorry.
No, you go.
So what I was really liking when we were starting our segment today, and you mentioned the memorial ceremony that you have, and I think that's a beautiful opportunity for parents is to give their kids permission to do a memorial ceremony and to do what they need to do to honor the life they shared. Now, the other thing I talk to parents a lot about, too, when it comes to children, is the creation of what I call a tribute table. So to go home and to find a special table in their home, and on that tribute table, and actually we change the words. We call it a Miko table, or we call it a Mike the dog table, or we call it a Fluffy table. That's what we call it. And on the Fluffy table is going to be absolutely everything that was precious to the life that we shared with Fluffy. So it may be Fluffy's treats. It may be Fluffy's favorite toy. It may be a letter. It may be flowers. It may be a candle. It's pictures. It's everything that we can lay on that table to pay tribute to Fluffy. And it's very healthy for the kids. And I tell the parents, I said, set the table up and give them permission to put everything on there. And even if we give them permission to, as I always did to the kids, I want you to either write a letter to Fluffy or I want you to write a letter about Fluffy. And that goes on the table. And it can either be in a very tightly sealed envelope if it was secret stuff, or it can be out that we can read it once we're ready to kind of have a ceremony to put everything away. So whichever one is more comfortable, giving them permission to do that. I can tell you on my website as well, there's actually a downloadable letter that parents can do that kind of helps with some thought starters. And I know my mentor, Dr. Alan Wolfelt, actually just came out with a children's coloring book that is absolutely priceless on how to get them started to do that writing and what to write down. I will miss what I remember is, I remember the day I met you, things like that. I remember how you got your name, et cetera. So it's a beautiful opportunity to help them do that and to really get down a journal, if you will, in their little ways.
I think that's fabulous, and they can find that book on your website or through your website?
Actually, I've got two websites, and so the other website that I would send your listeners to is the website twoheartspetloss.com.
Okay.
And twoheartspetloss.com will have that letter on there for the children. There's actually two of them.
Okay, perfect. Great. Well, this has been, this is a lot of great information here. We're going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll come back with Colleen Ellis, the founder of Two Hearts Pet Loss Center, and we're going to explore other ways that we can help those around us with pet loss. Join us in just a moment. Hi, and welcome. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Network, and here to help with all aspects of honoring our pets and our relationship with them. Honor Your Pet understands that pets are our family,
and honors our relationship with them and all they give. The website is pethonoring.com, and the email address is pets@pethonoring.com. Let me know what you need and how I can help. Welcome back. You're listening to Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Ellie Merriweather, and we are chatting with Colleen Ellis, who is the founder of Two Hearts Pet Loss Center, and she's helping us understand how we can help those around us with pet loss. And that is something that we all struggle with, I think, from time to time. And something that maybe not a lot of us think about is how to help the pets in our household with another pet who has died. So, Colleen, tell us a little bit about that.
You know, pets are pets to mourn. And I know one of my colleagues, Dr. Jessica Pierce, just did an amazing study on really understanding the death of animal grief and how they see the death of a pet companion, if you will. So I think we need to give pets that opportunity to do what they need to do to mourn for their pet friends. And well, if nothing else, if they may not mourn, but we need to give them the opportunity to understand what's happened with their pet friend. Animals do things by their noses. I always counsel people that have living pets at home and maybe they're heading to the vet clinic to put one of the animals to sleep, or maybe the animal has died at home. We've got to give the surviving pets, we've got to give them an opportunity to either smell or to spend some time with the deceased pet. And it's absolutely imperative, because it confirms for them what's gone on. And I'm sure we've all seen either YouTube posts or Facebook posts where, you know, an elephant has mourned for a baby, or a bird has gone through the mourning process, or a dog has mourned. Whatever it is, they all mourn. That's how animals are. They really are, just like we talked about with the children, they really are very organic in that fashion. And they have their own rituals. You know, I happen to have a dog, and I've only seen it twice, but I happen to have a doggy who is, I swear to you, back in an older spirit version of herself, she was the animal that would bury the deceased animals, because whenever she would come to work with me and there would be a deceased animal maybe lying in state or whatever, she found it her job to go try to bury it. And I just put air quotes around the word bury, because what she would do is she'd take her nose and she would push the concrete, or she would push air. Yes, it was the first time I saw her do it, I went to my knees. It was very powerful. And to watch her respect and her ritual of burying that deceased pet, and when she got done, I just stood there and watched her. I allowed her, you know, the first time I saw it, of course, after then it wasn't such a shock to me, and it became just a very natural part of what she did. But after she got done pushing the concrete or the blankets or whatever was around that pet, she would literally just stand there for a brief second, or sit down for a brief second, as if she were paying her respects, and then she went about her way. So it's really important that we allow those other pets. Now, many a times I'll have families call me, and they've got a pet that's grieving, clearly grieving, that maybe they loaded a pet up into their car and they went to the vet clinic, and when they came back, of course, they didn't have the pet with them, and then the other pet becomes very confused and looks, maybe runs to the window every time they hear a car go by, and they run to the window to see if their pet baby is on their, if their pet friend is on their way home. And so for families like that, what I recommend is when they're at the clinic, if it's not possible, and I understand sometimes it's just not possible, but please, for every one of your listeners out there, if you've got the opportunity, or try to make the opportunity that you can either take the other pets into the clinic or take that deceased pet home for a bit, okay? But if you cannot do that, then at least get a good hair clipping while you're at the clinic and after the other pet has died, okay? Mm. And then what we're going to do is we're going to take that little bit of hair, and we're going to take that home, and we're going to allow the surviving pets to smell it. And a variety of things may happen, and honestly, Lee, nothing may happen. But it's our responsibility, I believe, as good, responsible pet parents, to give them that opportunity to do what they need to do. They may sniff it. They may roll in it. They may howl at it. They may bark. They may whine. They may cry. And again, they may do nothing. But it's our responsibility to let them have the opportunity for it.
Yeah, and I think we need to remember that, you know, pets are part of our family, but we're part of their family. And
that's
pets
exactly
in the household,
right.
The pets in the household are part of their family, too. And, you know, providing them the opportunity to understand through their world and through the way that they see the world and explore the world. And we often forget that that is through the nose and through smells.
Exactly.
And that's their world.
And also think about animals. Animals run a little organizational chart, if you will, right? We've got somebody in charge. We've got an
sure.
org chart that they offer them, right? And so we
sure.
to the org chart, you know. And if the alpha of the house is the one that just was euthanized or the one that just died, then we've got to be sensitive to that because there's going to be some squabbles possibly as everybody shifts in the org chart and in the hierarchy and we've got to find the next alpha that's going to take over. And so there's some of that dynamic that happens as well that maybe we're not as accustomed to in the human world. But we've got to be very sensitive to that. How many phone calls I've received from pet parents who said, oh my gosh, everybody's now fighting. You know, they're all fighting. Does that
right.
mean they're grieving? And I said, no. Well, they may be grieving, but I said they're really reestablishing some hierarchy. They're trying to figure out who's going to be next in charge, you know. So we've got to let them do that, too. It's nothing more, nothing less, but we have to be sensitive to it, number one. Number two, it's what they do. So we can't get mad at them. We can't spank them. We can't yell at them. We can't, you know, put them in timeout, whatever you do as a pet parent. We can't do that. That's what they have to do. That's what animals do. So we have to be sensitive
yeah.
to it.
Yeah, and I think the correlating, you know, theme actually with both children and pets is to understand, give them both credit that, you know, that they understand more than we think that they do and that, you know, relate to their world a little bit.
That's exactly right. And I can't stress, you just said it, you brought them both in again, so I'm going to do it too. You brought the children word into it, you brought the pet word into it. You know what, we've got to let both of them see. You know, we as people, we do things with our eyes. Animals do things with their nose. So we've got to
right.
let the children see their deceased pet, too. Now, the one discussion I won't get involved in, because parents understand their children's maturity, and I won't get involved in the conversation of, are they mature enough to witness a euthanasia? I think a parent
right.
is the one that needs to answer that. But after the euthanasia, I don't care the age of the child needs to see their pet friend, as well as the other pets that are at home. They need to smell. Children need to see.
Yeah. Yeah, and I like the other perspective that you brought into it is that we need to allow them to process how they're going to, and whether that's children, you know, taking it in doses and coming in and out and, you know, managing how much they can take at a time or what they want to attend to at a time. You know, the pets are the same, that if we show them the other deceased pet that, you know, they just react however they react, and that's okay.
Right. Yep, that's exactly right. And even the pets, you know, I've had a lot of people that I've companioned and some of the comments that they've made to me is, I don't want my dog to see me cry because my dog is very sensitive to my emotions. And I always say to them, I said, we know how perceptive animals are. Your dog already knows that. Okay, don't kid yourself.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, I knew you'd agree with me. So let them see you cry. And, you know, I know this sounds silly, but I've given people permission to do this as well. Talk to the surviving animals. Tell Buffy at home that you miss Fluffy. Have that conversation. And as silly as it may sound, I said, and maybe they get it, maybe they don't. I don't know. I don't know that any of us really know if they understand our language. But you know what? It's going to help you, too. It's going to help you to talk about it. So what difference does it make? Sit on the couch, get a cup of hot tea, snuggle with your other babies, and let's talk about Fluffy for a little bit. Let's do that. That's good. That's all good to do.
Yeah, and you know, you said that people sometimes don't want to cry in front of their pets because they don't want them, you know, their pet to see them sad, but they're going to feel it. They're going to feel it anyway, and then they're going to feel that. They're going to feel that anxiety that you have about trying to hold back your emotion and that pain, you know, that pain that you're feeling. And, you know, I know all of our listeners out there know how in tune their pets are with them. So there's no sense in hiding it, you know.
Exactly. And, you know, the word that you just said, the anxiety, the pet feels the anxiety. So, you know what? Let's do everybody a favor. just talk to them about it. Just show them your emotion. You're going to feel better about it. The pet's going to feel better about it. You're all going to have this symbiotic way of mourning and this coming together of mourning for a precious love that you all lost. You know, give it up. Yeah. Stop trying to hide it or pull it in or mask it or whatever, because whether it's pets or children, they feel it. They feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. They both feel it. And I remember when my dog now, Maddie, I had Kelsey, and when Kelsey died, I was sitting at my office, and she just came in, and she looked at me, and she flopped her head on my lap. Mm-hmm. And without words, obviously spoken between us, I knew she was sad about Kelsey. And so I just said, I'm sad too, you know, and we talked about it, and there's just a knowing there. There's just a knowing between you and your pet. And, you know, in times like this, we just need to go with it and involve them.
Exactly.
And,
Yeah. And you know what? Just what you said, you know what? I'm sad too. You know, let's just go with it. Let's just be together. Let's stop trying to do and hide and mask and let's let it be. You know, I have a beautiful operation that is a part of our pet hospice group, and they run an in-house pet hospice organization out in California, Bright Haven. And she talks about and I know everybody that's listening here is very in tune spiritually and physically and emotionally with their pets. And so she said, you know, we can watch and we can tell when death is about to happen because the animals organically begin to do things. They begin to do rituals. They begin to lay on each other. They begin to do that, and that's their way. And I think it's a very beautiful thing. And you know, out there, it's just such a peaceful place, and nobody stops it. Nobody says, no, it can't happen. Nobody's frantically running around to try to get to an emergency clinic. Nobody does that. Death is embraced, and it's a part of the life cycle, and it's a part of who we are, and it's also a part of what we do to honor another relationship that we had. So as you said, just go with it. Just go with it. It's a much more healthy way of doing it. It's a much more peaceful way instead of just frantically getting your mind wrapped around the, you know, stopping it or shielding it or whatever. Just go with it.
Yeah. Instead of pushing it away, I think it's just it's easier to process and it's easier to handle and deal and just be aware of those around you, children and pets, of their needs. And you know, I know I wish in the past I had been better clued in, and I think this is just going to give our listeners a lot of really wonderful tips on that. So, well, let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk about how to help each other during this time. We'll be right back in just a minute. Hi, and welcome. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Network, and here to help with all aspects of honoring our pets and our relationship with them. Honor Your Pet understands that pets are our family and honors our relationship with them and all they give. The website is pethonoring.com, and the email address is pets@pethonoring.com. Let me know what you need and how I can help. You're listening to Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Ellie Merriweather, and today we're talking with Colleen Ellis. She's the founder of Two Hearts Pet Loss Center, and we are exploring ways that we can help those around us during times of pet loss. And we've talked about how to help children, and we've talked about how to help pets. And so now, a lot of times we get even more stuck, I think, sometimes with how to help each other. And so, you know, tell us, what can we do? How can we get over this?
You know, first of all, we're not going to get over it. So what we're going to do is we're going to get through it. So how
over
do we
the
get
obstacle.
Through it?
Right, okay.
Yeah, yes, how do we get through it? So, you know, getting over it in my eyes means we have a cold or we have the flu, and we equate grief to that. Now, while grief obviously comes with physical and mental and emotional and spiritual and cognitive symptoms, it's a matter of a feeling of loss. Mourning is what we do to express our loss, okay? So the permission I want to give all of our listeners today is I want you to mourn when you experience grief. And it doesn't mean that we question, do I feel bad because I just had a loss? Do I feel bad because my pet just died, you absolutely have the grief feelings, because it's that thing that sits in your stomach that says, this really sucks. I don't like this, yeah. And I'm hurting, and it's all of those things. But in the beautiful words of my mentor, Dr. Alan Wolfeld, he who mourns, mends. And mourning is, as we talk about, mourning is our grief gone public. Mourning is what you see me do when I experience loss. And that's actually with any loss. It's with loss of health or loss of job or a child going off to college and we've just established a new normal that there's not a child there at home, okay? It's the loss of all those things. And our mourning is to express that loss, to express that grief, if you will. Now, obviously, when we lose a pet, many a times we might feel shamed when we show our grief. We might have people who say, it was just a dog. Why are you crying? Right. I mean, and actually, it was just a dog, and it's been 2 days, and you're still crying. Are you kidding me? You know, so we get shamed, and that's okay, because there's people that don't understand the human-animal bond. And when we have a loss, and we've had a loss of a precious pet in our life, let's really reflect and say, you know what? My brother and my sister, and I'm making this up, my brother and my sister, they didn't understand the relationship I had with Fluffy when Fluffy was alive. So I'm going to guess that they're probably not going to understand the depth of your grief either. And so possibly we need to put some people like that, as I used to tell people, and give them permission. I'd say we probably need to put them in a box and put them on the shelf for a while. And let's not have them a part of our morning work, because it might not be the most healthy thing to do. Let's look right. to the people who understood our relationship and who respect where we're at right now. And let's turn to them for some support, okay? And as we turn to those who are going to support us, I want you to look for those people who will honor the story. And those are the words that I share. Honor the story. Honor the story of the life you shared with Fluffy. Honor the story of every aspect of the life that you had together, from when Fluffy came to how Fluffy got her name to all the journey that brought us to this day. And I want you to find those people that will say, I'll listen to your story today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. And we need those people that are going to be very sensitive to that and very respectful of that. Because the last thing we want to do is turn to somebody for support and they go, are you kidding me? Didn't we go right. around that barn yesterday? I think I'm done listening. Right. Let's not go to those people. And that's the beautiful thing about you, Lee. The beautiful thing about me is that there are people out there who will respect where you're at in your journey and respect that grief journey that you're about to go on. And I, you know, and the other thing for me too, as I work with families, is to help them realize that the next year of first, you're going to find yourself having grief first, where one right. day or 2 days or 3 days may pass and you're feeling stronger about this new normal. And then all of a sudden, I remember it happened to me with the first snowfall. And my big golden retriever, he used to go out and do what goldens do. He would lay on his back and he would swish around. And we would call it making his little snow angels or his little golden angels, if you will. And so the first snowfall, yeah, that I looked out and I'm like, why is the snow still pristine? You know, it popped me in the nose again. And it said, well, there's nobody here to make golden angels. And so that was a grief first, you know. So that year of first. We've got the first Christmas that we don't get to put a toy under the tree for them, or the first Easter, they don't get to have their Easter bunny ears on to go out to the Petco and get their picture taken with Easter bunny. Whatever it is, we've got our grief bursts that are going to happen. And I know I'm very blessed that, gosh, my husband and I were at Melting Pot the other day, and I don't know what happened. I mean, I'm 11 years later. I don't know what happened, but I just had my thumb in my mouth and went for a good cry. And I was just remembering. Some reason. So we had a Mako cry, you know, and that just happens. And you want to make sure you've got that support system around you that respects that support system that says, you know what, it's just going to happen. And I'm not going to tell you you're crazy or silly or too emotional or you need professional help or whatever. It just is. It just is. So do your morning work. If we leave anybody with a thought today, and whether it's with the children or whether it's with pets or whether it's how we help ourselves, I want people to actively mourn, okay? And sometimes it may be, I'm going to write a letter to my precious pet tonight. Sometimes it may be at 8 o'clock every night, I'm going to light a candle and I'm going to sit in reflective silence for a little bit. It may be that I journal. It may be a whole lot of things that work for me. Okay, and I've given many a daddy permission to come home after work because that was his time that he would take that little beagle for a walk. And I'd say, you know what? why don't you get the leash and collar, stick it in your pocket, and still go on that walk? And think about him. Think about the life you shared.
Yeah, and have that time of reflection and remembering.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's okay. You know what? In the very beginning, Lee, remembering is going to hurt. Okay?
Yeah.
Remembering is going to hurt. And then remembering is going to get scary, because then we get scared we're going to forget. And so we're trying to grab onto absolutely every detail. Was the brown spot above his right eye or his left eye? And how many people have held onto the very last blanket and actually even put it into a Ziploc bag so it never loses the smell? That's absolutely okay. If that works for you and that helps you to open that Ziploc and get a little sniff and it reminds you of their, you know, their unique little smell that they had, that's okay. It doesn't mean you're crazy for crying out loud. It doesn't.
Right. Right. It just means you want to maintain that connection and have that in your heart, and that's okay.
And that's a part of the remembering. And if that's the thing that you want to remember, and again, forgetting can get very scary at a certain point because the details get a little bit fuzzy, the specifics get a little bit more hazy, that's okay. It's absolutely okay. I think it's a precious thing. I mean, how many of us keep our child's first lock of hair, or, you know, keep some, a lot of people in the getting when they bury their parents, they'll keep a little bit of the ground from where the gravesite is as a symbolic remembrance. We do it. We all have linking objects that we hold on to. If that's your linking object, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think you've touched on some really important things. And I remember during the Angel Pets conference, several people came up and said, it's just so nice to know that there are others out there who care as much about their pet as I do mine, and that they get it. And so, you know, we are in a world where some people don't get it, and they can say hurtful things. And what I try to do, and have understood, you know, since being more involved in this work, is to reach out to those people, my friends who have lost a pet, who I know either love and adore their pets as family, as, you know, children, as, you know, really important members, and say, I get it, you know, and reach out and ask, you know, do you want to talk, or tell me about what was so important and special, and tell me about this relationship. And, you know, sometimes they, you know, even have a calendar, remember on anniversaries, like you said, to reach out to those friends and say, hey, you know, I get it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of times people are scared to bring it up because either they think it will remind them. And I always tell people, I go, oh, so what do you think they forgot?
Right.
I don't think
right,
so.
Right.
Okay. Let's just be real. They didn't forget. All right.
Yeah.
Didn't forget. Yeah, and you know what? Sometimes they're wallowing in it. They want somebody to acknowledge it and say it, you know?
Yeah. It's so much more comforting when somebody does understand and you can share. And I think we've all had that moment of, well, I don't want to bring it up because I don't want to, you know, cause them pain.
I don't want to upset them.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
Don't want to upset them. And, yeah, and I think we just have to realize that, you know, they're not forgetting about it, you know. It's still with them, and they're still processing it. And so,
yeah. And, you know, to be with like-minded people who, you know, who say it, you know that you can feel comfortable to stand there and cry and be safe with them and trust them and be vulnerable with them. It's okay to find like-minded people like that and go to them, gravitate towards them, and use them as the support system. That's what they're there for. And if we go back to statistics, let's just go back there for a second because it helps it make sense. 62% of people have a pet. 38% don't. 38% probably are not going to get it. Now, there's other reasons, not because they don't like pets, that some of those 38% don't have them. But let's just assume one in three doesn't understand the relationship. Then if that person doesn't have a pet, that person doesn't understand the bond, then let's maybe not go to them as our support. And that's just a fact, okay? And if they don't get it, they're not going to understand where we're at right now. And don't try to shove a round peg into a square hole, period. Just don't do it.
Right. Right.
Okay.
You're just setting yourself up to feel bad, you know. So I think that's an important, really important point, is go to the people that do get it and do understand.
Exactly.
And you know, and try to be support for them as well when they're going through it, and understand that. So,
yep, that's exactly right. That is exactly right. And again, just being, I know when we're in grief, sometimes common sense is the furthest thing on our list, but sometimes a common sense question of, did Susie understand that I loved Fluffy that much? No, she didn't. She always made fun of me. Oh, that stupid cat, you know, you've got another stupid cat, you know, picture or whatever. Let's maybe not go to Susie then, okay? Because
right. That's
common sense is telling us that Susie didn't probably get it, okay?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of thinking a little bit like that. Then again, finding those that are going to be very healthy for us in our journey.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that sometimes even the little things that we do to reach out, even if it's maybe not in conversation, to send a card or, you know, something that acknowledges that, you know, what you're going through is tough and I understand, and open, you know, could even open the door for, you know, other conversations and healing,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
with it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So,
yes, that's
wonderful.
Exactly right.
All right, well, we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, your organization offers a pet loss and grief companioning certification course.
Certification. It sure does.
Yes.
Yes.
Wonderful. All right, we're going to learn more about that. Join us back in just a minute. Hi, and welcome. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Network, and here to help with all aspects of honoring our pets and our relationship with them. Honor Your Pet understands that pets are our family and honors our relationship with them and all they give. The website is pethonoring.com, and the email address is pets@pethonoring.com. Let me know what you need and how I can help. All right, welcome back. This is Honor Your Pet on All Paws Pet Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Ellie Merriweather of Pet Honoring, and we are chatting with Colleen Ellis, who is the founder of Two Hearts Pet Loss Center, and we're learning more about how we can help those around us with pet loss. And we've covered children and pets and our friends and family. And one of the really interesting things about her organization is that they offer a pet loss and grief companioning certification course. And so help us better understand this, Colleen. Tell us what this course is, what it offers, and who is the ideal candidate for this.
Perfect. Let's back up just a tiny bit because I want to give you the origin of where this course came from. I had actually wanted to further my skills when I opened my pet funeral home, and I wanted to further my skills in the area of pet loss and pet grief and understanding it more, because the last thing I wanted to do as I was working with a family, I didn't want to be harmful. I didn't want to say wrong things. I didn't want to go into it blindly because in my stomach it felt right. It was okay to go a little bit on gut intuition, but I really wanted to hone those skills, and I really wanted to put a little more formality into how I approached the work that I did with families. And so I had poked around. I actually attended a couple of other conferences on pet loss and bereavement, and I didn't find that they were exactly what I thought they should be. So I reached out to a mentor of mine. I come out of the human funeral business, and I reached out to a mentor of mine, Dr. Alan Wolfelt. And he's at the Center for Loss out in Fort Collins, Colorado. And I specifically said all those words because if anybody wants to understand more in depth on grief and loss in general, all the way from suicide to children to complicated grief to any aspects of it, Dr. Alan Wolfelt out at his Center for Loss in Fort Collins, Colorado, conducts sessions. I believe they're almost monthly out there, and they are absolutely phenomenal for those that really want to understand the grief and loss process a little more in depth.
Mm.
And so I turned to Dr. Wolfelt and signed up for his first class, and I knew I was going to go through his certification program, which he does for people all over the world. And so I knew I wanted to go through that. Well, when I got there, And he knew who I was, and he knew what my mission was in helping pet parents in their grief journey. And he said, you know what, Colleen? I spent about 6 weeks there over a course of about a year. His program is actually longer than that for you to get certified in the human death industry and human loss industry. It's a little bit longer than that because he likes you to come to a class and then go back and really make application to what you learn and to work with it. And I said, I want to go a little bit quicker because I'm seeing the need out there for this education, and I want to get this out to people that are like me that want to be a little more educated in pet loss and pet grief. And so we went on a bit of a fast track. But what he did with every class that I went to, and I went to classes like Understanding Children and Their Grief, helping people who are grieving, hospice. I went to classes that were around that I knew I could make application to with the families that I worked with. And so what he would do for me is he would actually take and he'd say, okay, Colleen, for a pet parent, you may want to look at it like this. And so as we made our way through this class, he said, I would like to give you the first Pet Loss and Grief Companioning Certification, and then I would like to invite you back here to my Center for Loss for you to actually be the teacher on that, because that's what your mission is. And so a couple of the first sessions that I did a few years back, we actually did at the Center for Loss out in Fort Collins. And there was a little bit of an issue with some structural things that happened at his building. So he asked myself and another one of the facilitators to take our classes out into the field. So for the past few years, I've been teaching these classes twice a year in different cities across the country. They're three-day classes, and every session that we have in there deals with how to help people that are grieving the loss of a pet, or what the people that are grieving the loss of the pet need from us. And so for three full days, we start with anticipatory grief and the fact that we've just been given some bad news by our medical professional, okay? We go into, now the pet has died, what can we do? What does our grieving pet parent need? What can we do with children, pets? We cover all of those into the ritual aspect of what we can do. And we actually wrap that session up with a memorial ceremony to honor all the attendees there and the pets that have been a part of their life. It's a very powerful session, very powerful. I cap the attendance lead at that class at about 20 people, and I generally have anywhere from 15 to 20 that are there. I don't like it to go much more than 20 because it's such an intimate topic that I want to let everybody have the opportunity to share and network. And while I can tell you that the stuff that I talk about and teach and facilitate on in the course is very, very cool, it's very cool, I can tell you even more cool is the networking that happens and the story sharings that happen with the people that are there. And that's probably the most powerful aspect of that class. I have veterinarians there, I have vet techs there, I have people involved in pet hospice. I have had the ASPCA Pet Loss Hotline facilitator that's been there. I get grief counselors, ministers, pet loss facilities. Gosh, I could go on and on of the makeup of the people that come. And it's all people that have a vested interest like you and I do in helping people in this journey of pet loss and this journey of pet grief. And they just want to be better in that area.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful. And they can find out more information about that on your website on TwoHeartsPetLossCenter.com.
That's exactly right. Now, I will tell you, I just wrapped up my last session for this year in New Orleans just about a month ago, and I'm in the process right now of getting my two sessions set for next year. So probably I'm getting ready to go into my business planning for 2015, and probably here in the next month or so, I'm going to be having those dates and also the location so that people can get registered. And I can tell you, the classes do fill up quickly. So if anybody on this call is listening today and you want to make sure that you have a spot reserved, shoot me a quick note because they do fill up very, very quickly. Just as a side benefit as well, Lee, this course is also approved for 15 hours of continuing education credit for veterinarians and vet techs. So it's I know, isn't that a nice little benefit? And I will say, too, I also treat it as very much of a time to go away and to kind of renew and to get yourself kind of back centered again. So we do a lot of things with taking nice long breaks, taking a little walking, rejuvenation time. We do a lot of things like that so people can help themselves get back and get centered. Because a lot of times we do experience that compassion fatigue or that caregiver burnout. So these are nice sessions to come to get great information, to also kind of kick back for a minute and have a little bit more of a retreat type of a setting.
Yeah, I like the idea of the restorative aspect that you're mentioning to help us restore and get centered and heal and help others heal.
Yeah.
So I think that's a nice combination
yeah,
exactly.
there.
Exactly. And so you know, go ahead.
I was going to say, we can only take others as far as we've gone ourselves. So if we're struggling or we've not done our morning work or whatever, we can't take anybody else any farther than where we're at. And so we've got to make sure that we're healthy, that we have some very healthy outlets, if you will. And we've got to understand some things like we're responsible to the families that we work with, not for the families that we work with. So everybody's got to take their own journey. Our role is a companion. And by the way, I do call it a companioning because I'm not a counselor. So it's not teaching people how to be counselors. I'm not going to take away that credentialing from those who have done the work to be true, legitimate counselors. We work on being companions.
That's a great, great distinction. And also perspective that you care for yourself and that you process and heal and restore so that you can...
Exactly.
Do that, you know, for yourself and or others, you know, could be
exactly.
either one. So we have just,
you're exactly right.
Yeah, we have just a few minutes left. You have authored Pet Parents, A Journey Through Unconditional Love and Grief. Tell us what this has to offer us.
Thanks for that. I appreciate that. I'm really, really proud of that project, not because it's my baby, but I'm proud of it because it's given a lot of pet parents and it's also given a lot of veterinary medical professionals some permission and some education on how big this journey can actually be. Let's talk about what it means for pet parents, okay? For pet parents, there's a lot of really touching stories in there of people who are like us, who've experienced the loss of a pet that was their world, a pet that meant the world to them, a pet that was absolutely, you know, their entire being, if you will. And these chapters walk through what these people have done to honor their pets, from services we've conducted to the emotions that they have experienced and the grief and the death of all of that. And so these chapters walk through that. So it's almost like, again, it's giving permission to pet parents to say, you know what, there's other people that do feel like you. And it's okay. And I got to tell you a funny story. I gave it to one of my colleagues in the funeral business a couple of years ago, right after it came out. And I wanted his, you know, book review, if you will. Or actually about a year ago. And I wanted his book review. And so he told me, he said, I'm going to read it on the plane today. I said, okay. So he called me later and he said, I started reading the book in the airport before I boarded. And he said, it became very clear to me I was going to have to find a seat by myself. And he said, the other thing I was going to take a note of is how many times I cried because your story was so touching.
Yeah,
isn't that so sweet? And he's a big, strapping funeral director man, just a sweetheart of a man. And he called me later and he said, I tick marked and he said, I had 15 times that my eyes just welled up because it was so touching of what people did for their pets and these scruffy little babies that just... You know, they weren't going to go be doctors or win a Pulitzer Prize or whatever. They were just somebody's love. They were their precious love. And so these stories showcase what these families have done and the grief that they felt. It's also great for veterinary professionals because it gives them an opportunity to really see how they can help us. This grief is big. It's real. It's huge. And you know what? If I don't feel like you understand that, I may not come back to your veterinary clinic again. You've got to respect where I'm at on that loss and not dismiss it.
Right.
Because that may reflect on me choosing if I want to come back to you again. So we've got
to
understand that.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. Yeah. That's really, well, this has been really just a wealth of information for us to help us. Lots of wonderful resources. Colleen, thank you so much for being here. It's Colleen Ellis, is the founder of Two Hearts Pet Loss Center. She has two websites, petlosscenter.com and, Two Hearts Pet Loss Center.
Uh-huh.
And twoheartspetloss.com. Is that right?
That's exactly right, Lee. Yep, that's perfect.
Wonderful. So thank you here. Thank you, everyone out there, for being wonderful pet parents and loving and enjoying our animal companions. Thank you for joining us today and join us again for our next session. Lots of love. Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Colleen.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Please visit pethonoring.com or email me at pethonoring.com.